We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 this morning. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to tell y'all while you're turning to Luke chapter 15. That's in the New Testament, close to the front of the New Testament. I don't know what heaven's going to be like, but I think it's going to be a lot like what it was like up here yesterday at the church. It's a lot of love and a lot of joy. Just brothers and sisters in Christ, just loving each other and serving God and rejoicing in what we were doing. And I think that's just probably a glimpse of what it's going to be like. That's going to be a good day when we get to be united with all the brothers and sisters in Christ, all the loved ones that have gone before us. That's a good day. So we thank the Lord that He gives us little previews of that in this life. Luke chapter 15, I've got bad news for you today. We're reading a whole chapter. No, I think 31 verses it is. So that's the bad news. But the good news is we're not going to go through it verse by verse. So we'll probably be out on time, unless the Lord changes my heart. You never know. Sometimes that happens. We might be here till 5 o'clock, but we'll go till we get done. I didn't hear no amens on being here till 5 o'clock. Nobody amen that. If I'd have said we're going to be out by 11:45, half of y'all would have said amen. Say 5 o'clock, everybody just kind of there say, I hope he's joking. I know exactly what y'all were thinking. All right. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read through the whole chapter, then we're going to pray, and then we'll get started. All the tax collectors and sinners were approaching to listen to him, that's Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes were complaining, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. Or what woman who has 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she finds it, she calls her women friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, because I have found the silver coin I lost. I tell you, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. He also said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had and traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the carob pods the pigs were eating, but no one would give him any. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up, go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired hands. So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his slaves, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. As he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and didn't want to go in. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, Look, I've been slaving many years from you, and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Let's pray. God, we come to you. We thank you for these beautiful words, these beautiful parables that Jesus has shared with us, God. I pray that as we hear these words, that we would examine our own lives, God, that your Holy Spirit would help us to see how they apply to us, dear Lord. Help us to see who we may be in this story, dear Lord. Of all the characters and all the situations, dear Lord, who and where are we in the story? Are we one who is lost that needs to be found? Are we one who is like you, but perhaps our heart is not in the right place? So God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be among us today. I pray that you would just lead me, that I would preach and teach in a way that brings glory and honor to you, that you take away any fear or any pride that I have today, that you take away any distractions that the enemy has placed before us, and that in these few minutes, we would seek you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes, when we look at Luke chapter 15, of course, there's a lot of emphasis placed on the last parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the prodigal son. And rightly so, it's a great parable. And really, no matter how many times you read it, it's very powerful because it connects with us in a way that we can really understand. And that's the power of the parable. That's the power of a simple story that Jesus so often used, a story that was simple and not even necessarily religious in what it was talking about, but the connection to the spiritual point that Jesus was trying to make was fairly obvious for those who were really seeking and listening and paying attention to what Jesus said. And while the parable of the prodigal son is a beautiful parable, really to understand what's going on, we have to read the whole of chapter 15. It all really goes together. And what brought this whole set of parables about was a situation that had arose. And here was the situation. This is something we see throughout Jesus' ministry. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, and he did not just go and hang out with the church folks. Now, Jesus liked the righteous people. He liked those who loved God. It was great. He served alongside those people, and he loved those people. But Jesus didn't just love the church folks. Jesus loved everybody. Everybody. The undesirables. The ones that were evil and horrible. The murderers and the prostitutes and the tax collectors, the thieves, the liars. Everybody. Jesus didn't pick favorites. He would associate with the righteous. He would eat with the sinners. Jesus came to do what he came to do, and that was to share the love of God and to let people know and to see his example, that he was going to be the sacrifice that was going to be given for us so that our sins could be forgiven. He came to promote the good news, to let people know that the kingdom of God had come near. And the only way that the only entrance into the kingdom of God would be through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus went and he talked to everybody that he could encounter. But there were some who had a problem with that. And we see that at the beginning of Luke chapter 15. That there were some of these Pharisees and scribes that were complaining. And what was their complaint? Their complaint was this, that he eats with sinners. That he eats with the evil people. That he welcomes sinners and eats with them. And they took offense to that. Now, these Pharisees would have probably considered themselves to be pretty religious. They probably would have considered themselves to be holier than thou. I think that's obvious from their statement. Now, wait a minute. This guy, he's supposed to be somebody. He's supposed to be representing God, the things that he says, the things that he does. And yet, look at what he's doing. He's associating with these sinners. Shouldn't he know better than that? And we have to pause for a moment here, and we have to examine our own life. Do we ever fall into that trap? Do we ever think that we are too good to serve somebody else? You are not. You are not too good to do anything. You are not too good to do the dirtiest and the nastiest and the stinkiest and the hardest jobs. You are not too good for that. There are things sometimes that God puts in our path, opportunities that he calls us to, and we pass them up because they're too nasty and they're too dirty and they're too scary. And we might justify it by saying to ourselves, well, God will just have to send somebody else for that. Well, maybe he sent you for that. And who are we that we are too good to help the poorest of the poor and the worst of the worst? We are not too good for that. And if we are, then we need to be careful. Because if we are, even if we don't utter these words the Pharisees uttered with our mouth, they are in our heart. And we are just as guilty if we want to avoid sinners and avoid those who are least of these. Jesus calls us who are Christians to minister and to love those who are the least of these. And whatever we do to them, Jesus says, we have done for him. So we are not too good to humble ourselves before those who are in need and to serve those who are sinners. Because I've got news for you. You yourself are a sinner. And if you've called on Jesus Christ, you are a sinner saved by grace. And if you've experienced the grace of God, then how can you not share the grace of God with someone else? And if you can't share the grace of God with those you encounter, then perhaps you have not experienced the grace of God. So that's the charge against Jesus. This man, he ain't nothing because, look, he eats with sinners. He values these people that have no value. They're the garbage of society. And Jesus told them a parable. He tells them a series of parables here. All with a common theme. He shares a simple parable. A lot of these people probably would have known what it was like to raise sheep, have a lot of sheep. And Jesus says, look, there's a shepherd, had 100 sheep, and one of those sheep were lost. And what did the shepherd do? He went and he found that lost sheep. And what did he do when he found it? He rejoiced. He said, look, my sheep, I found my sheep. He told everybody around, I found my sheep. My sheep was lost and I found him. And what beautiful imagery there, because how does he, not only does he find him, he doesn't just say, hey sheep, you're over there, come on back over here, sheep, there you are, come on. He doesn't do that. It says that he goes and he places the sheep on his shoulder. The shepherd goes and he retrieves the sheep. And there is rejoicing when one that is lost is found. And Jesus says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who comes to repentance. More so than over 99 who don't need repentance. Now, he's not saying that there are people that don't need repentance. He's making a point. He's saying, look, there are some people who are obedient to God. There are some people who are following God. There are some people who are God's children and they are his. But there are some who are lost. And it's not that God doesn't love the 99, but he wants the one. He even values the one. He values the 1%. Even if he's got 99%, God says, but I want 100%. God is not greedy. He is just a God who loves you. God values people. That's kind of the point that Jesus is making as he goes through these parables, is that God values people. And maybe you're lost today. Maybe you're lost today. I want to tell you, you need to know this today. Listen to this. You are valuable in the eyes of God. You may not think so. The world may bully you and push you around and tell you you're not worth anything, but that is a lie from the pits of hell. I want to tell you today that you are valuable in God's sight. So valuable that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on a cross for you. That's how much God loves you. And he'd have done it even for the one. And there's rejoicing when a lost soul comes to Jesus Christ. There's rejoicing when Jesus Christ, the shepherd, comes and you become a sheep who is part of his fold. There is rejoicing that takes place. And Jesus continues on with another very simple story. Woman's got 10 coins. She loses one of them. She's frantically sweeping the house, trying to find that coin. She finally finds it. And what does she do? She calls all of her girlfriends up and says, "Hey, girls, guess what? That coin I lost, I finally found it." And there's rejoicing. And the same idea. There's rejoicing in heaven when the lost is found, when the sinner comes to repentance. Now notice as the story progresses what we see. In the first little parable that Jesus gives about the sheep, there's 1% of what the shepherd has that's lost. And yet he cares about that 1%. Now what about us? Do we care about the 1%? Now I suspect we're all guilty of this. You ever go somewhere and you pay for something? Well, probably not now because we don't use cash. But back in the day, and they'd give you some coins, and you'd drop a penny, and it would kind of roll like under the counter or something. And you'd say, "Oh, I'm not worried about that. It's just a penny," right? We're not worried about a penny. If you lost today, if you lost 1% of everything you own, well, it might be kind of a bummer, but you probably wouldn't bother you too much. But God's not like us. He values everything. He values even the 1%. And so that cent that we leave behind, that we take for granted, God's not like that. He values things that we don't value more than we value them. So in the first story, there's 1% of what the shepherd has that's lost. What about the second story? Well, there's 1 out of 10 coins. Okay, the percentage is getting greater. And this is 10% of what this woman had was lost. Now, if you lost 10% of what you had today, you'd probably be sweeping the house too, right? You'd probably be looking around. If you had a $100 bill in your wallet, you had 10 of them and you lost one of them, well, you're going to look for that more than you're going to look for that one cent. And so we see that the value of the main characters, or the main portion of this story, is increasing. It goes from 1% to 10%. And no matter what the percentage is, it's all valued by God, but the value of what's in question is rising throughout the story. The value is rising, and there's excitement because what is lost is valuable. And the sheep's not that valuable, but the coin is a little more valuable. And then we get to the third part of the story. This is where Jesus is really kind of bringing the point home. The first two were kind of real simple stories that they could relate to and understand. Okay, yeah, one sheep, not that big a deal. One coin, okay, maybe we'll look a little more for that. But what do we see the value in the last story? It's 50%. The man had two sons, and he lost one of those sons. He lost 50% of what he had. And what a beautiful story it is. We see in the story that there's two sons, and one son says, "Dad, I want my inheritance. Give it to me, or I don't want to wait on you to die. Just give me what's coming to me." Well, that's a bad place to be. Sometimes you even see that with people today. That's not a good place to be. Your heart's in a bad place if that's where your heart's at. So this young man said, Dad, I want what's coming to me. Give me my inheritance. And the father said, okay, son, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you. And so the son receives his inheritance. And guess what he does? He blows it. He goes out and he lives for the world. And he does all these horrible things and blows his money. And it's gone. And then guess what happened? Scripture says that a famine comes into the land. Well, now he's in bad shape. He was good at home. When he was at home, the father took care of everything. The father provided for him. The father protected for him. The father gave him everything that he needed. In the father's house, he was in a good spot. But he chose to leave the father's house. And he found himself in a bad spot. He started feeding pigs. That's the job that he had, feeding pigs. And it said he longed to eat from the pig slop, but nobody would give him any. He didn't even have pig slop to eat. Boy, it looked pretty good at Daddy's house, I bet, about that point. Isn't that amazing how that is when we're young? It seems like living with our parents is the worst thing ever. Like our parents are just so evil, like they're anti-fun, like they just had us and they just had a meeting and decided, we're not going to do anything fun for them. We're going to be hard on them. And then we get to growing up. We can't wait to get out. And then we get out and we're not so different from the prodigal son, are we? We get out, we're going to do things our way. And then we're eating like Hot Pockets like three times a day. And then we think, man, when I was at home, man, Dad used to make chicken wings or he'd make a steak sometimes. And we realized that maybe being at home wasn't so bad. And the prodigal son, boy, he was ready to go. And he went. And he figured out that being apart from the father was a bad place to be. So now he's in a bad, bad place. Now listen, maybe that's where some of you are today. Because sometimes in life, we make stupid decisions. I'm not talking about leaving home. We're talking about a bigger picture here. Sometimes we do stupid stuff. And we find ourselves going down a pathway that's leading us away from God the Father. That's leading us away from what God desires in our life and what God calls us to in our life. And if we seek God and follow Him, God takes care of us and He provides for us. And it may not always be easy, but God always comes through. But the moment that we abandon God and we seek to live for ourselves, we are in a bad situation. And we find ourselves living in sin and living for the world, and pretty soon we have hit rock bottom. And that's exactly where this son was. He had hit rock bottom. And he knew that he was in a bad shape. He also knew that there was only one thing he could do. The scripture says that he came to his senses. I love that part of it. He came to his senses. Now maybe God's calling some of us today to come to our senses. It's time to wake up. It's time to repent. That's what this is about. These parables, they have a theme. They're about repentance. They're about God values people. He values you. You have value in His sight. He sent Jesus to die for you so that you would come to Him, so that He could provide for you and take care of you, so that you would live in obedience to Him under His protection and under His care, that He would guide your path. That's kind of the theme that we see. Is that you are valued by God, and what God wants is for you to repent of your sinfulness and to come to Him. And maybe today there are some of us. Maybe you used to walk real close to the Lord. Maybe you've never trusted in the Lord. Maybe you've been living your way in your sin for a long time. Maybe today the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and you feel that conviction and you know today that you need to seek Him. Well, I pray that today you would come to your senses. That you would say, this is foolishness for me to live for the world and to do the things that I've been doing. It's foolishness. God, I want to seek You and I want to come to You. And that's exactly what the son does. He realizes that he is in bad shape. And he comes to his senses and he says to himself, he says, you know what? He said, even my father's slaves have it better than I do. I can't even eat the pig slop. Nobody will even give me that. Even my father's slaves are better off than me. So he says to himself, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll go back. Boy, that's hard. That's hard, ain't it, right? That's hard when you mess up and you leave home, or you have an argument with your parents, and they say, "Well, my roof, my rules." And then you say something like, "Well, it's time for me to find a new roof." And then you go out and find a new roof, and you find out things under your roof are pretty bad. And then you got to make that trip back home. And you got to say, "Diddy, can I move back in for a couple months?" Well, that's tough right there. That's exactly what he had to do. He said, "I'm going to go back, and I'm going to just tell my daddy, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, look, if you would just let me come and be one of your hired hands, if you just let me come be your slave, I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. Father, I know that I have done wrong. I know that I have, and I'm not asking to be your son again. I'm not asking for the benefits of the son. I'm just asking if I could just come and work for you. If I could just be a slave for you." And so there's his little speech he's going to give. He's ready to give it. And so he heads back on his way. And I bet you he is. Boy, that's a tough walk. That's a tough walk. And he gets close to the house. And his father runs out and says, "Boy, I told you so." No, that's not what he says at all, praise the Lord. If you're a father, maybe you don't need to say that too. He doesn't say that at all. He gets close to the house and he sees his son in the distance and he knows it's his son. And he runs out to him and gives him a big old embrace. "My son is home." He rejoices that his son is home. That which is lost is found. The same that we see in the other parables. He rejoices that the one he had lost was found. And he tells everybody, "My son has come home." And then the son gives us a little speech. He says, "Dad, I know I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. If I could just be your slave." And you know what the father does? He says, "Bring my son a robe, put a ring on my son's finger, prepare a feast for my son has come home." It's hard for us sometimes when we have been living in sin. We have done some wretched stuff. I'm talking about some wretched stuff. Every one of us. We have done some stuff that we are so ashamed of. We have done some stuff that is so evil, maybe even last night, maybe even this morning. Stuff that you just feel that conviction about now. And you know that you've done wrong. And you know that you are sinful. And it's hard for us sometimes in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our darkness and all the evil that's within us. Sometimes it's hard for us to come before the Lord, and there's probably a part of you that says, "I've done too much and there's no hope and God doesn't love me." But I want to tell you today that if you would come to your senses, if you would come to your senses, if you would take that step and you would go before the Father and humble yourself before Him, God will embrace you as a son. If we would humble ourselves as the Son did, the Scripture says that we are slaves of God. If we humble ourselves as slaves of God and say, "God, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I don't deserve your grace, but God, if you would just forgive me and just give me the crumbs, God, I don't want anything. Just give me enough to get by, dear Lord." If we humble ourselves as slaves, God accepts us as sons. And He lets us eat of the feast of the table. I don't know what the son felt. I suspect a lot of relief. I suspect the burden of preparing that speech. He probably said it 1,000 times before he got there. And knowing what he was going back to and knowing what he had done, I suspect the burden of that was heavy on him. But I would just bet you anything that the moment his father come and embraced him and welcomed him home as a son, that instantly his burden was lifted. There's a lot of burden in this world. Some of you came into this room today carrying a lot of burden because of your sins and your decisions. But I want to tell you today, in the Father's house, there is peace, there is grace, there is mercy. And the moment you seek God, the moment that you ask Him to forgive you, the moment that you humble yourself before Him, in an instant your burden will be lifted. You might have brought it in here today, but I'm going to tell you through Jesus Christ, you do not have to take it with you when you leave. And so everybody is feasting and celebrating and having a big party because that which is lost is found. The lost son has returned. And everybody is happy except for the other son. The other son's out there working. He hears what's going on. He says, "Hey, what's going on up here at the house?" They said, "Oh, wait, you didn't know? Your brother's home. Your brother's home." He didn't say hallelujah. He was mad as could be. He finds out that his daddy had killed a fatted calf. Are you kidding me? The fatted calf? He probably says, "I've been eating Hot Pockets all my life," and he gets a fatted calf. And he goes to his father, and he's so angry. He's so angry. He says, "Why are you doing this? This son of yours went out and he took your money and he wasted it on junk and on prostitutes and on the things of the world. And now he comes back into the picture and you're going to celebrate?" And the father says, "Son, you're always here with me. Everything I have is yours. You've been in my presence. You've been in my household. You have been my son throughout all of this. But your brother had left. He was lost. I didn't know if I would ever see him again. But he came back. That which is lost was found." We have to rejoice when that which is lost is found. And Jesus ends the parable there. All of these parables have a common theme. In each one, the value of what was lost increases from 1% to 10% to 50%. And in each case, there is rejoicing over that which is lost. The Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus and says, "How dare he eat with sinners?" And through these parables, what Jesus is telling us is that Jesus values sinners. Praise the Lord. Because that's every one of us. Jesus values you today. The question is, of all of these characters we see in Luke chapter 15, which one do you most relate to today? Are you the lost sheep that needs to be rescued? Are you the lost son who has gone astray and lived for himself and lived for the world? Are you the father who longs for your children to be restored to you? Are you the Pharisees and the scribes and the other brother who are angry at the grace of God? Who are angry because God loves sinners. I don't know who you are in the story today. Perhaps you're the brother who has strayed and today you feel like you need to come to your senses. Well, praise God. But who we do not want to be today is the other brother. Who we do not want to be today are the Pharisees and the scribes. We don't want to be those who look down upon sinners. We want to be those who rejoice when sinners are saved. And we need to be reminded that we ourselves are sinners. That it is God's grace that has saved us. That it is the love of Jesus Christ on the cross that has saved us. Who are we today to not love others? Let us not avoid sinners. Let us love sinners. Let us follow the example of Jesus Christ, that we can bring the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and the compassion of Jesus Christ and the message of hope to those who need to hear it. Perhaps you need a message of hope today. And the hope that we see in this story and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is that you are valued by God. Whether it's the 1% or whether it's the 50%, God values every soul. We see that in this parable. God values you today. God loves you today. If you've not followed Jesus Christ, I pray that today you'd come to your senses and seek Him. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this good word. Dear Lord, I pray that we would never fall into that trap of thinking that we are holier than Thou. Thinking that we are somehow better than anyone else, dear Lord. We thank You that Jesus came to save sinners. And perhaps we need to follow the words of Paul, in which he says that Jesus came to save sinners, of which I am the worst, dear Lord. We need to realize just how bad our sin is. And God, maybe our sin is ever before us. And the pain of our sin is ever before us. And the condemnation of our sin is ever before us, dear Lord. And I pray that there is one that is burdened down with their sin today. I pray that they would just seek You right now. I pray that they would come before You and know that You love them, dear Lord. That You sent Jesus Christ to die for them. And that today Jesus wants to bring you into the kingdom. But God, as we see in the story of the prodigal son, we have to make that choice. We have to come to our senses. So I pray, God, if there's one today that is just struggling under the weight of their sin, that today that they would repent, that they would ask for forgiveness, that they would accept Jesus Christ and put their faith in Him to know that He has died on a cross and His life was given so that they could be forgiven. God, I pray that if there is some burden with sin today, that they would know that You value them, that You are worth something to them, that You love everybody. We see that in the Scriptures time and again with Jesus, God. He loves everybody. All of us here today. God, maybe there are some here today, and maybe they're Yours. But maybe they are like that prodigal son who has wandered away. I pray today that they would come home, that they would come to their senses, dear Lord. I pray, God, that we would be those who rejoice, that we don't just seek judgment and punishment for sinners, dear Lord, but that we seek restoration, God. We ourselves are sinners. And yet You were gracious to us. So God, our desire should be for Your grace to extend to others. So let us be those who long to see lost souls saved. Let us be those who rejoice, dear Lord, over that which is lost and is found in Jesus Christ. I thank You for each one that's here. I pray that You bless them, God. And as we take these few moments to close, God, if You've spoken to anyone today, I pray that they would respond to You today. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen.